We give glory to God, first of all, for his goodness, for his grace and his mercy, that he has spared us to come together again, lift our voices in praise and adoration to his name. That's enough right there to get happy about. Because it didn't have to be this way, but I thank God that it is. Today has been another lovely day. And I want to, before I take off here, express my appreciation to those who have shown me great love, hospitality on today. We have to have the gospel to get to heaven, but we need a little physical food on our way. And today I want to thank Brother and Sister Malone, Brother Willie Malone, and his lovely wife. I was able to call her name a while ago, but it got away from me. It's now, what the real name? That's what I want to say. Fiolis. I've been trying to keep that in my mind since all evening. But they took me out today to a classy place. One of my special places. Because I'm a seafood lover. And they took me to Red Lobster and had the audacity to tell me, don't worry about the price. Oh, how I love them. But they treated me so royally, and I appreciate them so highly for their great spirit. Let me say to this church, you know, I see a very godly, humble spirit in this congregation. You know, it feels warm when you come in here. That's a good thing. That's a real good thing. Those who are visiting with us, we're glad to have you. If your preacher was glad to have you, come and support us in this effort. Let me move along because I've been trying not to be what I've been accused of for years. I've been trying for years to change my classification. And they have classified me as a long-winded preacher. It just doesn't sound right, does it? No, it doesn't sound right. So let's see if I can do anything about that on tonight. But one thing we want to say for sure, the intent and the purpose of this meeting is to strengthen those who are in Christ and enlighten those who are not in Christ that they may become children of God, or members of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. And I'm not afraid to say church of Christ. Amen. Afraid. This fellow said to me a while ago, I ain't scared. In the book of Matthew, a very familiar passage, the 16th chapter of Matthew, and I'm going to read in your hearing. We've been dealing from 13 verse through the 18th, but for the sake of time. Okay. I'm sorry, I got to read the whole thing. Y'all forgive me? 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Underline it. Shall not prevail against it. Now from this reading, when Jesus came into the course of Caesarea Philippi, he asked this question. And I'm going to say he asked them first about the people. Then he asks them, what have you concluded? So I'm going to try to talk to you for a little while on the subject. It depends on who you ask. It depends on who you ask. Now this subject says to us in an indirect manner that some caution should be used. Some selectivism should be exercised when seeking true and wholesome information. It is suggestive that information is sought regarding some matter, and that the answer to some question is desired. That the solution to some problem is needed, and it suggests that the same question asked is subject to different answers depending upon who you ask. For all men, all subjects are not exposed to the same information. They don't have the same degree of wisdom and understanding. Or it may be that they have hearts and minds and souls that are not possessed with the most profound quality of integrity. Therefore, a true and accurate and justifiable response to one's questions and problems and matters would or will depend upon who you ask, relative to the forestated qualities and conditions of the character. Y'all still there? Okay. When seeking information on a subject or requesting a response to a certain matter, and you're doing it from different sources, it's not unusual that you'll receive different answers. For we answer questions and respond to things and people and matters as we see them and as we comprehend them, and sometimes as it relates to us, even with some selfish interests. Sometimes we are motivated. There are some personal preferences and interests that we seek to justify, and therefore we answer according to that. You understand? The Jews' interest was not in a king who was going to come and he was going to arrive with great compassion and humility and subject himself to crucifixion by Roman soldiers. And they saw him, therefore, and labeled him as an impostor. They called him a blasphemer, said that he was not who he said he was. that he had made himself the Son of God. So in spite of Jesus' impeccable character, in spite of all of his mighty wonders and works he had done, the miracles of mercy he had performed, in spite of all of that, they called him an imposter. It depends on who you ask. There are those who have not gone to attended the same schools, have not read the same books, have not been exposed to the same material, but they have been influenced by some perverted and controversial sources who had some unsound and inaccurate information, and therefore they answer accordingly. Therefore, an inquiry into these schools and quarters would only produce answers and responses in multiple choices. That's why we got so many churches today. On another note, listen to this. You need to ask the right people. You can't just ask anybody. The criterion necessary are conducive to raising a productive crop of produce, if you want to know how to do it, surely your information ought to come from somebody who knows something about farming, who have seen the product of such activity. You want somebody to tell you who knows something about it. You remember when Moses sent spies to spy out the land of Canaan? Told them to go and spy out the land and come back and bring a report of what they found, an appraisal, along with what the specimen, what a specimen of all the things they had was. Now, if you notice, there were 12 spies sent out to make an observation of Canaan and to bring back an appraisal along with specimens of the produce of the land. Now, there were 12 spies sent to make the observation and bring back an accurate report. And every one of them saw the land. They saw the rich soil. They saw the abundance of life-sustaining substance. They saw the city and the great water supply and the inhabitants of the land. They saw all of them saw it. But when they returned and was brought into what you may call a debriefing session, they were asked to reveal their findings. Well, they were asked, what did you see? What observation did you make? What is your evaluation of the subjects of the land, their strengths and their weakness, and how do we approach the land to possess it? In your determination. Now you understand that they all had seen the land. They all had access to Canaan land. But the Bible says that 10 of the 12 spies said to them, you can forget it. It can't be done. It's not going to materialize. Just forget it. That's what 10 of them said. We are not able to go up and possess the land. In our eyes, we were like grasshoppers to them. And they saw us the same way. And everybody there is a giant. You ever heard such a thing? see, when you're looking through the wrong eyes, you will see stuff that's not there. When you're looking through the wrong eyes, then mountains, or molehills rather, look like mountains. But you know, they drew their conclusion based upon what they saw through eyes of fear, through spirits of doubt, through hearts of insecurity. But it depends on who you ask as to the answer that you get. But thank God for Joshua and Caleb. When they heard these 10 give that despairing report, they rent their clothes and said to the people, if the Lord delight in us, he'll bring us into the land. You see, too many times we look at ourselves and depend on ourselves to get to where we need to be. But we're looking at the wrong one. We can't get there on our own. It takes God to get us there. Now, Joshua and Caleb were not looking through their own eyes to draw their conclusion, but looking through faith in God Almighty. And that's how we should do too. You know, many times we have a project that we want to bring forth and to the church, and we want it to be successful. And you find a lot of folks will say, well, I don't know how we're going to do that. No, it's not how you're going to do it. It's how God's going to do it through you. God works through us. Amen. Now, somebody got to tell it like it is. I have resolved to tell it like it is. Doesn't always come over too good with some folk. But I'm one of those preachers who's going to tell it like it is. Now, I'm going to try to smile at you every now and then, because it's going to hit some sore spots. But I don't mean to hurt you, but sometimes you have to get hurt before you heal. Amen. You see, Canaan had another spirit. He and Joshua were not looking through their human eyes, but through the eyes of God. They didn't draw that conclusion based upon their human sight and their rational comprehension, but their trust, their hope, rested in the deliverance of the infinite and awesome sovereign God. When you trust in God, things may seem impossible, but you got to remember that God specializes in things impossible. That's one of his specialties. Don't you know he started the world out like that? Who could speak a word and the world appear? Who could speak a word and the sun set? Who could speak a word and the moon is set? Who could speak a word and the heavens is blanketed with stars? God specializes in things impossible, stuff that we couldn't even think of doing. God can do it with all these. Okay. So they trusted God by faith, who had promised to them. Listen now. Here the people got all upset, but God had already promised them he was going to bring them into the land. This was the fulfillment of the promise of God. So why are you doubting? God already told you he's going to bring you in here. Going to give you Canaan that. He said that way back there to Abraham. He was going to bring him back to that land. So why are you all so doubtful? When God said something, it must come to pass. I read that somewhere in the Bible, His word shall not return to Him void, but it must accomplish that He pleased and prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. If God said it, you can just sit down and wait on it. It's coming to pass. Amen. God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, as I said, all the spies had an answer. But to get the correct answer depended on who was asked. And I think right now it is necessary that I direct some acute attention to the text under consideration. Notice I read Matthew 16. That's what I want to talk about. That was just an introduction I did a while ago. Now I'm going to preach my lesson. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples a question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked that question to His disciples, and they began to give an answer. Peter spoke up, probably being impetuous, probably by divine potence. He said, some say that you're John the Baptist, reincarnated. Some say that you are Elijah. Others say you are Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They say that you got the courage of a John the Baptist. Your courage make you look like John. They say you got the compassion of a Jeremiah. Others say you possess characteristics of some of the other prophets, but you see, it depends on who you ask. Jesus was not satisfied with the opinion poll of the masses of the people. So He asked His disciples, who do you say that I am? Those people out there in the streets are a little remote from me, but you have been close to me. I taught you, I fed you, I protected you. You have seen my works. You were with me when I defied the laws of nature. The very first miracle, when I took plain water, transformed it into the purest wine, who you say I am. You saw me take two small fishes and five barley loaves, and I fed 5,000 men beside the women and children, and had more left over than I started out with. Who do you say I am? You should remember, blind Bartimaeus, how I took spit and clay, anointed his eyes, and told him, go wash in Siloam. He went and washed and came back with 20/20. Who you say I am? You should not have forgotten when I stood at the grave of Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 days. His body was decomposing, and I called him by his name, and he got up with his grave clothes on. Who do you say that I am? I'm going to pause here and say, God has done some stuff for us too. And we still don't know who He is. God has healed some bodies. He's eased some pains. He solved some problems. Got us out of some stuff we didn't know how to get out of. Who do we say He is? Moving on. In other words, Jesus said to them, since you've witnessed these extraordinary and unparalleled accomplishments that I have done, who you say I am? Peter said unto him, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal it into you. In other words, if I could rephrase that, I would say, Peter, you are not so smart. You didn't just zap it up from the top of your head. If my Father had not revealed it into you, you wouldn't know either. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you are doing something, if you're living in something, and God did not give you permission to do so, amen, you don't know who God is. And God don't know who you is. And he's going to say to you in the end when you meet him, depart from me, I don't know you. Moving on. Now, Jesus said, I say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Now some people say he was talking about building the church upon Peter. Because Peter, in the Greek, does mean rock. Petros, rock. Petros, small pebble rock. Casting stone. But you got to understand, there were two rocks in this text. Peter, Petros, means rock, little rock, pebble rock, casting stone. But Petra, Christ, also means rock, bed rock, foundation rock. Now Jesus said, thou art Peter, get this, but upon this rock. Now, wouldn't it make sense? We got a few educated folk in here. See, I ain't too educated. I need somebody to help me out now. Now, if you go build it on Peter, why you said, thou, you are Peter, but watch it, but upon this, wouldn't it have been more right for him to say upon that? You see, Jesus didn't build the church on Peter because he was a pebble rock. He was that rock. And there's a difference in that rock and this rock. Don't y'all miss it, because I think I got it. That rock was Peter, a fisherman, who caught fish. This rock was Jesus, who made the fish. That rock sailed on the sea. But this rock, Jesus, walked on the sea. There's a difference between that rock and this rock. That rock began to sink in the sea, but this rock reached down and saved them from sinking in the sea. That rock, Peter, told a lie, but this rock said, I am the truth and I am the life. There's a difference in this rock and that rock. Jesus wouldn't build the church upon Peter, who can lie. He built the church upon himself, who is the truth. And I know that's right. I know he's the foundation.
in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is that solid rock foundation for the church. Amen. Not on Peter, but on Christ. Now, I said depends on who you ask. And y'all, don't be mad with me, but I'm just trying to tell it like it is. It's amazing today that you got a lot of folk in the world. You can ask them, how many gods, how many true and living God are there? Let me ask y'all, let me sound it on y'all here tonight. And I want you to hold up this as many fingers as you think they are true and living God. Okay? All right. How many true and living gods are there? Now hold them up. You can take them down. Now, just to make sure I got everybody, is there anybody in here who believe there are more than one? Okay, we are all together, right? We are all together. Now, if you want to know about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, want to know who built it? You want to know who it belongs to and who's going to save it? It depends on who he is. You want to know who's the head of it? It depends on who he is. When you ask the wrong folk, you get the wrong answer. You can't ask in the quarters of Catholicism. You ask them, who's the head of the church? I know they're trying to fake nowadays. They're trying to talk a little bit about Christ and the Pope. I don't mean no harm, but let me tell y'all something. One day we go all stand before God, us, the Pope, and everybody else. Amen. It ain't gonna be no secrets then when we stand there. We may as well get it straight down here right now. Pope Boniface, and I'm not speaking because I don't like the man. I like all people. I like every. You know, my daddy used to say it, and when I was young, I didn't quite understand then, because My love line wasn't quite straight. I hear my dad, and my dad was a preacher too, you know. See, he'd get up and be preaching. He said, "Billy, beloved, I love everybody. And I know there were some folk who didn't like him. And I'm like, how can you love them? And one day, he made me understand. He said, "Son, I don't love them for who they are. I love them for who I am and for to whom I belong. That's why I love them. They have a soul just like I have a soul that needs to be saved. And I love them. I love their soul. But I must tell them the truth." Amen. I got to tell you the truth. If you want to know who built the church, don't ask Boniface. You want to know who's the head of the church? Don't ask him. Any man who have the audacity to present himself as the Holy Father got a head problem. And have the audacity to say you believe in God. Come on. Don't y'all be looking at me. Get me Matthew 23. These folks look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Matthew 23. And about verse 7 or 8, somewhere along there, I know I'm in the right ballpark. I might not be in the right base, but in the right ballpark. Yeah, get you. Yeah, we want to hear this. I ain't going to stay down here long tonight like I did last night. Read. Now y'all get this now. Be not ye called rabbi, that is the master or the master teacher, because you ain't the head. You ain't Lord. Come on. You ain't got but one master. Who is it? Christ is the only master. Right? Keep on reading. And all you are brethren. Any use me trying to make you call me Rabbi? Call me Elijah. That's the name my mama gave me. I'm pleased with my name. Amen. Read, come on. And listen what the Bible says. Call who?
No man.
You sure that? You sure you read that right? Call no man. What about a rich man? Call no man what? Your father. Say it loud. Don't be whispering. Call no man your father upon this earth. I'll talk to one guy. Well, then what about your daddy? He your father? I said, don't be stupid. He ain't talking about my family. He talking about his family. Amen. Don't go crazy on me here. He's talking about heavenly father. He said, there's one who is your father. Why is he? Which is in heaven. Now, Mr. Pope, I don't mean no harm. I love you. Why don't you stop telling folk call you Holy Father? You ain't no, you aren't any. The Bible is right, y'all. The Bible is right. It depends on who you ask. Let me give you a couple more things, and I'm going to let y'all go home. But I want to give you enough so you can think. If you want to know as to whether baptism is essential to salvation, it depends on who you ask. Well, you can't ask most folk out there. Because most folk in the religious world, out in the sectarian world, they don't really think that you really have to be baptized to be saved. Some say, well, you ought to be baptized so you can identify with the Christian family. That ain't what the Bible says. They said baptism is not essential to salvation. I challenge them on that. Are you greater than the Word of God? The Bible says baptism is for, Acts 2:38, I'm going to quote this, the remission of sin. And don't come bringing that lame thing that you usually bring. Can't no plain water wash no sins away. Who said it did? Who said it did? No. But I tell you what. Your sins will never go away unless you be baptized. I know that God forgives sins. Is that right? The blood of Jesus cleanses sins. But you got to get to the blood to get the cleansing. Is that right? But the clean, But do you know where the blood is? Blood ain't dry. You want the blood, you're going to have to get in the water. Jesus shed his blood in his death. What is John 19:34? Is that right? Check it out and see. I get one wrong every now and then. John 19:34. Right quick, like, hurry, hurry, hurry. I said, I'm going to be short tonight. I hope I ain't joking. One of the soldiers with a spear. Go up a verse. Go up a verse. Go up a verse. Go up a verse, yeah. But that's what I want. When they came to Jesus, he was already dead. He shed no blood yet, doctor. He was already dead. What happened? They didn't break his legs because he already dead. See, what they did was when somebody was being hanged and they wanted them to die, they'd break the leg to hasten death on them. But when they got to Jesus, see, God had already said, not a bone in him shall be broken. When they got to him, he's already dead. Jesus took care of that business. Read. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, forthwith came there out blood and water. He shed his blood in his death. If you want the blood, you got to get into death. Romans 6. I wouldn't pull have all these scriptures read because this makes me long when I started doing this. Romans 6, verse 3. No, you're not. That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his
death.
Wow, where's the blood? In the death. You want to reach the blood? You got to reach the death. How you get to the death? Baptism. Well, how are you going to be saved without it? I rest my case. It depends on who you ask. Jesus built his church. I tell you, it's amazing. Brethren, even some of our brothers and I, sad to say, are getting shaky and falling off of this solid foundation. I heard some real sad news today talking to a young man. Matter of fact, he's my grandson. But I give him credit for being faithful to the Lord. So he called me. He said, the granddaddy. I said, yes, son. He said, I'm thinking about trying to relocate because I'm hearing some stuff that doesn't sound right. He says, a preacher, and he's trying to convince the church to call him Reverend, says it's all right. So he also said that we don't know folk who've been baptized out there. They could have been baptized for remission of their sin, so we'll take them in anyway. He's trying to build for himself, not for Jesus, but for himself. People, the Bible is right. And if you want the right answer, you got to ask the right folk. Some folk, even in the pulpit, need to come out. And I'm not fighting. I don't fight preachers. But I preach the gospel. And I ain't scared to preach it. Because I believe with all my heart, the Bible is right. Baptism is essential to salvation. life is not essential. Why did the Lord say when Saul was about to be baptized, why did the preacher say to him, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord? If it wasn't so, why did he say it? Amen. It just depends on who you ask. But the Bible is right. You know what I'm going to do? I got three more pages, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn them over. I'm not going to keep y'all all night tonight. I know I was long last night. Didn't nobody even tell me. I don't know if you were scared or what, but you didn't. But it depends on who you ask. You want to know what to do to be saved? You need to ask the apostles. Amen. You want to know what church is in the Bible? Go to the Bible. Ask the apostles. These other churches are not in the Bible. Now, I sympathize with people. But God is God. God demands obedience. God don't want nobody trying to rearrange salvation plan. Amen. It's the same thing now. It was AD 33. It hadn't changed. The Bible reads the same way. Brother popped up one time and said in a meeting I was in, he said, you know what, you know, really and truly, you know, we got to deal different today. We're in a different day today. These young people today, says you know, we're in some modern times. The stuff that used to work don't work no more. And I say, I know it. Because you ain't working it. Amen. Water is still wet. Fire is still hot. Is that right? The sun still shines from up above. The dew still falls. It was falling centuries ago. Rain still comes down centuries ago. Storms still rise centuries ago. They haven't stopped. Why do you think God's plan of salvation going to change? Not going to change. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible said that my word is forever settled in heaven. So it ain't going to change. It depends on who you ask. Ask the right folks to get the right answer. The Church of Christ is in the Bible. These other churches not there. And I've been trying to name them, too many of them. But anyone you pop up with, if it's not the Church of Christ, it ain't in the Bible. And I see your mind working right now, and I know where you're going. I said it last night. I got to say it again before I close out. Well, doesn't the Bible talk about the Church of God? Sure. Read it. I thought you said the Church of Christ was the only church. A few things you need to know. Everything that Christ did was by the authority of Jehovah. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. But what I see my Father do, that's what I do. And I said, if you're going to run there and do that, get me Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And let us go here and understand. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to understand the Bible. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to rightly divide the scripture. You see, you can't just go just mix it all up like you doing your eggs and grits. And you can't do that. Acts 20, 28. Listen to this. Now, here's what they didn't understand. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock. He's talking to the elders of the church, the overseers of the Lord's church. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, right? over the which the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost did this, so you don't kick against it. The Holy Ghost made you what? Overseers, read, to feed the church of who?
Church of God.
Why am I being talking about the church of Christ? Hold it. Don't you move. And they read that and stopped. They were stopping when they should have been running and running when they should have been stopping, my brother. Feed the church of God. Is there a punctuation mark there? What is it, a period? Oh, they thought it was a period. That means the thought ain't complete yet. The church of God, then comes a word that connects God with the rest of the sentence. The church of God, which he who God purchased, who God, get this one, with his own blood, Christ. Jehovah never had blood. John 4:24. God is a spirit. And Jesus told his disciples, a spirit hath not flesh and bone like you see me have. So let's talk about Jesus Christ. He is God the Son. He is God. He's 100% God and 100% man. Amen. It just depends on who you ask. These other churches, not in the Bible, make sure whatever you're in is written in the Word of God. We all going to stand before the judgment and before God and before the things that we've done in this body. I told y'all last night, I'm closing on this. When you stand in the judgment, there are going to be two books there at the judgment. Read Revelation 20. The Bible says, 20th chapter of Revelation, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, plural, were opened. And when I first read that, I wonder, what books? Why you got books? Then I finally found out that I got a book up there. Everything I did is in it. And guess what? I ain't got to worry about nothing that's in your book. Because none of your stuff in your book going to be on my book. I got a book of record. God keeps a record of everybody. Everything you do. Everything you don't do. Everything you think. Everything you say, God got it in a book. You can't lie. The books will be open. Your record's going to be there. Then he said, another book, which is the book of life. The only book I know is life. That's the Bible and those who are saved. That's the only book of life I know anything about. And you'll be judged according to your works. Don't let God catch you with your work undone. Don't let him catch you in a place that you're not supposed to be. When Jesus come back, he's not coming back for churches. People, believe me, the Bible never said he was coming back for churches. But he's coming back for his church, his body, his bride, he's coming back for. And Jesus only has one bride. The church is his bride. What church is that? Romans 16:16 is the church of Christ. Yes, it is. He loves it. He's going to save it. Don't take no chance on meeting him on the outside of it. Well, if you understand what I've said to you, and if it makes some sense to you, and you want to make your calling and election sure, here's how you can do it. Simple. Jesus died out on Calvary's cross. Was buried in Joseph's new tomb. But he rose on Sunday morning. Three facts. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Do you believe that? So you don't have to do a lot of that crazy stuff folks say you got to do. And don't let them folk fool you. And it bothers me every time I see it done. Why people want to stick their finger in people's eyes and tell them just pray the sinner's prayer with me and you can be saved right now. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I devote my life to you. Amen. Praise God. That doesn't put you into Christ. Ain't no such thing as no sinner's prayer like that got you into Christ. You pray to God once you get rid of your sins, become a Christian. Then you can pray. God heareth not sinners. That's why he wants to be a Christian, so you be his child. You can talk to him. Come boldly to the throne and tell him all of your troubles. He already know them, but he wants you to come and talk to him because he's a daddy for you. Won't you be a member of the Church of Christ? I'd be afraid to be ashamed and ashamed to be afraid. Y'all stand on your feet because as I told y'all before, so say I now again, I'm a little bit like my daddy. My daddy was, he loved to preach, but he didn't know when to sit down. You think I'm long-winded? My daddy preached. I'm an angel boy, you no doubt about that. But nevertheless, he preached the truth. If you're here and you want to be saved, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And if in some way something I said is a little bit cloudy, you don't have to go home. I still take time to sit down with you and take that Bible. I guarantee you, I'm going to show you everything I've said right now. I'm going to read it. And if I can't show it to you, these other preachers help me find it. Or either they tell me, you shouldn't have said that, that ain't in there. They'll straighten me out. Won't you come to Jesus? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Young or old, you need the Lord. We're going to sing a verse.